Hello, and welcome to Living Beyond Limits and our online service. I am Reverend Jennifer Speer, and we are a part of Centers for Spiritual Living. I'm so glad that you have joined us today for this online service. When we meet in person on Sunday mornings, one of the very first things that we do is say good morning to the people that are sitting near us. But what really happens is it turns into a love fest. We give ourselves the opportunity to connect with those other people heart to heart, and it opens our hearts and opens our spirits and actually allows our spirits to come forward. And so since we're not meeting in person right now, what I invite you to do for a moment is just to close your eyes and to imagine some of those people that sit near you on a Sunday morning. And if you don't normally join us, to just imagine some of the people that you care about in your life, just to hold their faces in your mind for a moment. And to actually send them some of your love. To see them standing in their own wholeness and in their own power. And to hold them in that light. And to wrap them in that love. And to know that as you are doing that, you are actually sending them a blessing. And to also know that as other people are watching this video, there are people that are doing that same thing for you, sending you that blessing, wrapping you in that light and in that love. And so how wonderful it is to get to participate in that. And so we're going to begin our service this morning by having our practitioner, Barbara Conant, come forward. She's going to lead us in an evocation as we begin to evoke an awareness of the presence of spirit that is already right where we are, and do a contemplative reading for us. And so I invite you just to begin to kind of settle into yourself, into that space of quietness, that place of stillness within you. And we allow the sound of the bowl just to resonate with us and to assist us in slowing down.
Taking this moment in time, as we step out of our busyness and move into that center within, where we know and recognize the divine love and the divine light that is always present with us. And I know that there is one power and one mind throughout the entire universe. And it surrounds me, and it surrounds everything with its love. And I know that I am truly one with this infinite power of love and the creative design of life. Mm. And I know that this truth is for everyone as they recognize and know that they are a divine power of life in the world. And I also recognize that the divine is expressing itself in and through this service. And I know that the divine is here, present, right now, in the words that are spoken by Reverend Jennifer and by Reverend Tracy, as their light shines forth, that we all may experience a greater divinity of love and of the presence of spirit that dwells within Reverend Tracy and Jennifer, and that they so graciously share their knowledge with us today. And so I bless this time. I bless the centers for each one of them. And I am grateful for this day and for all the good that is present right here and right now. And I say, and so it is. Hello. My reading today is from The Art of Life by Ernest Holmes. The law of life is already in your mind. The problem is to apply it to your everyday needs. Naturally, the intelligence and the law, which are God, are abundantly able to bring to you or to anyone everything necessary to happiness, to health, and to success. Whether you can call these things spiritual or material makes no difference, for God is in everything and through everything, and God is everything. The power of life and the creative mind within you is a spiritual power, able to bring you permanent peace, increasing happiness and joy, and even greater material abundance. Those things which have made us miserable and unhappy can be eliminated through the conscious use of this mind power. While it is true that God power is always with us, it is not true that we always realize its presence. To realize this is to be able to make conscious use of it, to direct it for ourselves and for others. Knowing that the creative energy of the universe is at your disposal, and that the same power which made everything is flowing through you, would you not naturally feel that you possessed the pearl of great price? Knowing how to use this power, would you not feel that you were on the verge of a new experience of wonderful and limitless possibilities? Would you not have a new enthusiasm about living? Accept this God power and use it for good, for others, and for yourself. And so it is.
Thank you, Barbara. That was beautiful. Thank you very much. And so I'd like to share with you now our mission statement. And so if you know it by heart, you can join me in saying it. And if not, I just invite you to take this in. We are a sanctuary where people can discover and reveal the presence of God within their own being and experience their oneness with all life. Through the realization of this inner presence of love and peace, we give way to the evolutionary impulse of the divine and become a beneficial presence in the world. And so that's what we're doing here at Living Beyond Limits, is we are giving ourselves the opportunity to remember that, yes, indeed, the presence of the Infinite One lives within us. That presence that expresses itself in and through and around everything that we see expresses itself within us as our own divine essence. It expresses itself within us as peace and as love, as the truth of our own wholeness and our own power. Because what happens, it's as we come to recognize that that is always within us, that then we have access to it. So when we are out in the world and we find ourselves in situations that aren't peaceful or aren't loving, we can tap into that presence within us. We are not then victims to the world and reliant on what's happening out there. We stand in a place of power and in a place of change because we can bring forward peace or love or stand in our own wholeness and our own power. And as we do that, we become a beneficial presence because we change the situation. We change what's happening. It changes the relationship and brings the presence of our own spirit and spirit into this world. And so I say thank you to every single one of you for walking this spiritual path, for heeding the call of your own soul to be bringing that presence into this world. And so today you are in for a real treat. Reverend Tracy and I are going to answer some questions. We've been asking you for the past few weeks to send us questions that you have about the science of mind or the teachings of Centers for Spiritual Living, anything that you might not understand or questions that you have about how to apply them to your life. So we're going to sit down and have a discussion about that today. And so the talk titled is Since You Asked. So we're going to be talking about the questions that you asked. And so before we start, I just want to tell you a couple of things that next week, September 13th, we are having an outdoor service at Hartwell Park, the same place we had it a few weeks ago and the same place we've been doing donuts and coffee. So we invite you to join us for that. Bring a chair and your mask, and we will be having a fabulous service and getting to love each other up and be in that energy of each other and celebrate. We are also having donuts and coffee in the park at that same place on Thursday mornings at 10:30. If you would like to join us for that, you can just show up. If you would like a donut, text me or email me and let me know, and I will get you one, because so many people weren't eating donuts that we're only getting them for the people that want them now. So you can do that. Email me if you are not on our list, or if you would like that, to email me at livingbeyondlimitscsl@gmail.com. We are also having a Thursday evening Zoom call of connection and spiritual practice, where we get to do some sort of, usually a meditation, some sort of spiritual practice, and answer some questions that are kind of introspective, profound questions, just that give us insight into our own lives and help us be connected with each other and get to know each other better, and to do that in an environment that is supportive and loving and open-hearted. And it's just such a pleasure to get to be seen and known and to get to see and know other people. We are still doing Ministry of Prayer, and we have prayer shawls. So if you would like a prayer shawl to be wrapped in that energy of love, or if you would like us to support you for the next week in prayer, please email Barbara Conant. You can email her, you can email me, you can send her a text, or you can call her. And we would also like to invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel that gives you a one click to the talks. And last but not least, I would like to thank you so much for your continuing support of Living Beyond Limits, because we are living beyond limits, each and every single one of us. And so your support is allowing us to continue to move forward and looking forward to the day coming soon when we're going to get to be together on a regular basis. And so I invite you to come on over by the fireplace and join Reverend Tracy and I for answering some questions. Come on over. So here we are for our fireside chat.
Welcome. We're so glad that you're joining us.
And so our first question today is this. In religious science, what is the purpose of the physical experience? Why are we having it? Why is it necessary? My answer is that we are having this physical experience and to express who we are as spiritual beings, to express our own divine nature and our own infinite potential. And as we do that, what happens is then God is more fully expressed as we express. And so in the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes says, in God expressing itself through us, it becomes more fully conscious of its own being. And in 365 Science of Mind, it says, we were created to express the nature of the divine, the source of our being. So we have incarnated in these bodies so that we might fully express and give way to that divine presence so that it might express itself. And as we do that, we are expressing our own divine essence. So we've come to express our essence. So what that looks like then is as we love, as we have relationships, as we create our lives, as we learn and grow and unfold who we are, as we experience joy, as we share ourselves with others in the world, every time we do one of those things, we are expressing that divine presence. So as we are having loving relationships, we are expressing the love of the divine. As we are creating a life for ourselves, we are expressing the creativity of the universe. As we accomplish things and do things, we are unfolding and expressing that divine potential. So it's kind of like this. It's kind of like the difference between a composer having a song in his head and then actually putting it on paper and having it played. Because it's as long as that song is in the composer's head, it's only an idea. It's a potential in mind. But once that song is put down on paper, and then all of the different instruments play the different parts of that song, and the singer sings the song, it comes to life. It is expressed, and it is experienced, and it's given life. It comes into form. So the difference between us incarnating or not incarnating is like that song coming to life.
I don't even have anything to add to that. I think that that's a really good example. You know, we have this physical life. And part of me thinks, you know, the why almost isn't important. We just do. We're here. So what do I do with it? Well, create and express. That's what I enjoy about other people. That's what I enjoy in relationships. Anything that brings joy nourishes life. And so I see our physical expression as simply the way in which, like you said, we are spirit expressing in the world. And that element of creativity, that sense of love and growth and transformation that we experience throughout our lives is its own purpose for being. It is our life lifting and uplifting our own consciousness as well as the people around us. And that, to me, is a good thing. It's what we do. All right. So our next question is illness an intentional part of the human experience? So here we have this wonderful life and this expression of creativity, and sometimes what life shows up as is illness or lack or fear or loss or pain. And it seems counterintuitive that if we're spiritual beings, that we would have this experience that seems so negative. In October 95, Science of Mind magazine, Ernest Holmes is quoted as saying, "To free ourselves from the forms of lack, unhappiness, physical disease, etc., is the whole aim and purpose of the Science of Mind and Spirit." So this philosophy that we teach is here specifically to help us understand life from a perspective of healing, of allowing us to return to a state of harmony and balance and nature's way with us. And what I mean by that is, you know, our body has the ability to heal itself. In other words, the doctor may clean the wound and apply antibiotics and maybe give you a stitch or two, allowing for healing to happen, but the body itself is what heals. We don't do that. It's like we plant a seed and the plant grows. We don't make the growth happen, but we might tend the soil and make sure there's enough water and enough light. So we have this healing nature in us, and Holmes actually talks about that. This is a little book called A Holmes Reader on Practical Wisdom, and he talks about a curative pattern. He says there's a curative something at the center of every person. There's a pattern of perfection at the center of every form. All curative arts, in other words, those who are involved in healing, all curative arts recognize this center. All agree that disease, fear, and unhappiness are not our natural state of being. Any physician will tell you that the tendency of a disease is to get well. Any psychologist will tell us that the tendency of disintegration is to reintegrate. Any metaphysician will tell us that there is an ever-present life. We must all awake from our sleep to the knowledge that wholeness and completion already exist at the center of our being. And what that means is that healing is the process of discovery or uncovering or rediscovering the wholeness we already are, the completion that is already part of our nature. We have this human experience, and trauma happens, and pain happens, and we experience disease or difficulty or obstacles in our thinking or maybe mental illness. But what we're really doing in this life is uncovering our way back to the greater truth, the divine nature that we are, because we are not just human. We are not only this human experience. We are also that divine center, that place of wholeness and completion. Some people would say, and some traditional religions would teach, that, you know, illness is a test or a punishment or something deserved or not deserved. And that is something science of mind has never agreed with. You know, I know when I went through cancer treatment that there's a moment. Well, first of all, I was in ministerial school and I couldn't understand how, if all I was doing was praying and studying and immersed in spiritual truths all day, every day, how could I possibly be sick? Because obviously my thinking was right, right? So there's this tendency to ask, what did I do wrong? How did this happen to me? Why am I suffering like this? And what I got from my mentors was a reframing of the illness as a way of understanding how I might be served by this experience in my ministry. What is it that wanted to come forth from me? How could I understand this illness in a way that showed me my better self? In other words, moving through the process of illness and recovery changed me. Reverend Dr. Margaret Stortz, one of the elders in Science of Mind teaching, says that her cancer experience didn't define her, it opened her. And I think that's really what happens when we experience any kind of trauma. Something is being called forth from us. We are being opened up to. And what I know is that I have a different sense of compassion. I have a different sense of understanding. When someone comes to me for support and it's around physical health, I come from a different place than I would have 15 years ago before all this happened. I also saw it at the time as a call to receive care. You know, you can't give what you don't have. How can I be more caring, more giving, more of service, which is what my calling is, if I have never received from others that support, that love, that help? So this whole idea that, you know, that illness is something to avoid, I don't think we can avoid it, because we are physical beings in a physical body and the temporal changes all the time. We don't have a choice about that. Everything changes, right? Accept the eternal truth. Accept the divine nature. Accept the spirit that we are. And so Science of Mind is here to teach us how to be in the human experience, regardless of what it looks like, from a place of our own power, from a place of our wholeness, as a way of understanding our lives and realigning ourselves with the harmony of life, like that concert you were talking about. You know, when all the instruments play together, when my mind and body and spirit are in alignment, there is a harmony, there is a song of life that I'm singing, and that's the process of discovery that this life is to me. Anything else?
The only thing that I would add to that is that in old-time religious science, people would ask themselves when they got sick, what's wrong in my consciousness? What did I do wrong? And just what you said, I think in addition to the teachings that our thoughts greatly impact what happens in our lives, I think we are eternal beings on this pathway of unfolding ourselves, unfolding all of our potential. And I think that any time a catastrophe of any sort happens, including an illness, that there is a huge opportunity in that to discover things about ourselves, to discover things about life, to unfold something greater. And so it's not bad and wrong. We like to name it bad and wrong. It's just the experience that we're having at the moment.
Right. Exactly. Thank you.
And so my second question is, is there a, quote, will of God? So in the Science of Mind textbook, it says, true prayer must be, thy will be done. But the implication relative to the will of God is this prayer is not a submission to the inevitability of evil or limitations. It is knowledge that the will of God is always good. And he goes on to say, the will of that which is infinite can never be finite. Everything, then, should tend to expansion and multiplication in the divine plan. That is the will of God. It has to be beauty, truth, and harmony. We should interpret the will of God to be everything that expresses life without hurt. Anything that will enable us to express greater life, greater happiness, greater power, so long as it does not harm anyone, must be the will of God for us. So my answer to the question is there a will of God? Yes. The will of God is simply to express, and to express in its fullness. And the more fully we express in our lives, the more fully that divine presence has the opportunity to express. I think that we are meant to live full and rich and satisfying lives. And I think the more satisfied we feel and the more fulfilled we feel, the more fully God has expressed. And so if you think about it, it feels so satisfying and so fulfilling to be in love or to have loving relationships of any sort. It feels so satisfying and fulfilling to raise a child or to be successful or to accomplish something. To be successful, whether it's obtaining a college degree or even making a new recipe. Every time we do one of those things, that divine is getting to express in a more fuller way. In that loving relationship as love. In that new recipe or in our school as intelligence and as creativity. What you will. But it's always allows God to express more fully, and I believe that is the only will of God.
I agree. I think that, you know, we say in Science of Mind that life is for us, and life is another word for God. It's the energy of all things. It's, and by any name, it is what builds up. It's what nourishes. It's what fulfills. It's what grows things. It's what evolves. And so the will of God has to be the will of good. In other words, the highest and best in any situation. And, you know, we're not always, as human beings, really good at discerning what's highest and best. We get a little selfish sometimes, or we don't realize what we're doing could be destructive to someone else. But as we learn and as we grow, we continue to fulfill our own desires in a way that does not do harm elsewhere. And that can only be what life is. It's about that cycle of continuous growth and not, as superstition would tell us, that any bad thing we can't explain must be the will of God. You know, that's kind of an old-fashioned way of looking at it. And Science of Mind doesn't go there. We know that God is about the goodness, the wisdom, the peace, the beauty, the joy. And if that's the truth of God, then that is the truth of life's path for us. It's what we live. Okay. So my second question is, what does the philosophy of Science of Mind say about suffering? Okay, we don't. No, that's not true. Here's what Ernest Holmes has to say. The person who is in pain or fear naturally wishes to be released from it, and as quickly as possible. I do not believe that God has imposed suffering upon anyone to punish him or teach him a lesson. Human beings seem to have assumed the prerogative of determining that God inflicts the suffering, when actually man appears to be responsible for his suffering through ignorance of his divine nature. So we suffer when we feel stuck, when we feel victimized, when we feel traumatized, when we think things should be different than they are, or different than they turned out differently than we expected. You know, the definition of suffering is twofold. One is that we patiently endure loss or pain or lack. And the other one is that it's a punishment or an affliction that results in pain being felt. Well, pain being felt is part of the human condition. We've talked about that. It's, you know, the emotional spectrum of humanity includes everything from absolute bliss to the darkest, deepest depression. And that we experience any or all of those emotions in between is part of our being human. What the philosophy says, what Science of Mind teaches, is that it's not something that's done to us. We are not meant to suffer. When we do suffer, there are ways in which we can heal, ways in which we can move forward. You know, my biggest suffering experiences come when I feel like I don't have any choices, that whatever the pain is going to go on forever, that there's no way through or there's no resolution or how could this possibly get better? Everything is wrong with this. And that's not the truth. It doesn't matter how dark the night is, the dawn always comes. And when we look back on our lives and we think about things that have happened to us or we remember how difficult things were, just remember when you were a teenager. How many times were you sure the world had ended for you? And yet our perspective shifts over time. And our perspective shifts when we spend time talking through a problem with a loved one, or we take a walk in nature, or we get out in the sunshine. In other words, when we think there's nothing we can do, or that we will be here forever, that's not the truth. The truth is we will move through, we will move on. Now, some trauma we bring on ourselves, you know, and we do things that end up hurting us or hurting someone else. And what Science of Mind teaches is the law of cause and effect. So our actions have consequences. We change the action, we change the consequences. So when we've made a mistake, when we've hurt someone, when we've done something that's caused something unintended that's negative, we make amends. We correct our behavior. We change the way we see things. As Maya Angelou says, when we know better, we do better. And so this process of learning how to live life through the suffering that humans feel is part of why we're here. It's the teaching that we have, you know, to remind ourselves that life is for us, that even difficult situations teach us and grow us, right? Grow us into something more of what we are. And that we're never stuck. We're never permanently in anything, because as a human being, things will change. Our experience will change. And we have something to say about the direction of that change. The way we think, the way we understand how life works, the more we study that in our life which we're grateful for. Those are the things that lift us out when things are difficult. It's not that this philosophy makes it so nothing bad ever happens, nothing difficult ever happens. What it does, though, is it changes the way in which we're able to manage or respond or make a difference in how we see what it is that we're going through, and that we do it from a place of love. We do it from that trust and knowledge of wholeness. We believe that there's a way forward, because that is the very nature of life.
And the one thing I would add to that, I think just what you said, there is pain. There is physical pain that our bodies have. There are things that happen that we don't like, that, and we could call that pain too. There's a difference between pain and suffering. And I think, to me, the suffering is always about the story that we're telling ourselves. It's always about the story. This will never end. I won't make it through. This is horrible. I shouldn't be having to endure this. All of those stories, the story is what creates the suffering, not the experience that we're having.
Right. Creates a tension between what's happening and what I'm telling myself about what's happening and how bad and awful it is. I can control what I say.
Right. Exactly.
I can control how I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And so my last question is, do surrender and acceptance have any relevance in the Science of Mind with respect to being the co-creator of your life? And so let's talk about surrender first. And my answer is yes, surrender does have a place in the teachings of the Science of Mind. It is about surrendering the lesser to the greater. It's not about surrendering something or surrendering yourself or your life to a man god that's up in the sky. It's more about surrendering what isn't working, about surrendering our fear or our worry, say, to peace. Or I surrender my problem to the absolute infinite intelligence that already lives within me, that intelligence that permeates everything. I surrender my problem to harmony, or I surrender my problem to good. I'm surrendering my little self, my little ego self, my fear, my worry, and that voice to my greater self, to the part of me that already knows, the part of me that is already peace, that is already wisdom, that is already the divine knowingness of the universe. And so what I can do is, let's say that I'm having fear that I've lost my job and I'm never going to get another job. I can actually take that and say, I surrender that fear to peace, because the peace is already inside of me. The fear is inside of me, but so is the peace. I can surrender that fear to peace. I can surrender my unbelief to my faith that's already living here. I can surrender my controlling behavior and thinking that I need to control everything that's going on into knowing that the universe is for me, that life is for me. I can surrender it to my trust, surrender it to trusting the journey of life. And so in the Science of Mind magazine from April of 2015, there's writings from Ernest Holmes, and it says, pure spirit exists at the center of all form. Of itself, it is formless, but it is ever giving birth to form. If pure spirit is at the center of everything and is always responding to our thought, there is no limit to its manifestation. There is no limit to its manifestation for us except the limitations that we set. So what really happens, I think, is in surrender, we let go of that tight hold, and we let go of our fear, and we let go of our apprehension, we let go of the struggle and the fighting against, and move into a state of relaxation, which creates a state of openness, which creates a state of receptivity. So we're relaxing into the good, and we're relaxing into the divine. In that relaxation, we create a space for the solution to come forward. We create a space within us for the answer to reveal itself. We create a space because we're more open for the way to reveal itself in our lives. So to me, it's really about the energy of holding tight and gripping versus relaxing and being open. So it's about being tight versus being open. And the second one, does acceptance have any relevance in the Science of Mind? I say yes, because in the Science of Mind, we don't pretend that something that's happening in our lives isn't pretending. We aren't in denial. We don't act like it's not happening. Christian Science says this world isn't real. They deny that it's real. We don't do that. We accept that it's actually happening in our lives. We're not in denial. So, for example, I'm not in denial that politics right now, that politicians and political parties seem to be extremely at odds with each other. I recognize it is a fact, but it's not a necessity. I realize that it is an experience, but it's not a necessity. And it's the same thing with anything in our lives. If you are experiencing ill health, I can realize it's a fact, it's an experience, but it's not a necessity. It is an experience that I'm having, but ill health is not a spiritual truth. The spiritual truth is that wholeness is, that harmony is, that perfection is, that peace is. If I'm having an experience of lack of money in my bank account, I can recognize that that is actually happening in this physical world, but it's not a necessity. And lack is not a spiritual truth. The truth is I live in an abundant universe. The truth is that creative intelligence expresses itself in me and leads me and guides me into perfect avenues to make money, to receive my good. The truth is that wholeness and harmony and peace and order are always present. So the truth is we live in this infinite universe, in this boundless good, and when we recognize that, when we embody that belief, it changes what's going on in the outside world around us.
So a couple things. When you talk about surrender, yeah, Susan Corso in God's Dictionary defines, she breaks down the word, and it is to give back up. It's not to give up, right? Sometimes, and especially in the Western world, we think surrender means you're giving in, you gave it up, you're throwing in the towel, you're the loser. Who wants to be a loser? But in a spiritual sense, it's to give back up, as in it's not yours to begin with. So what are you surrendering? You're surrendering the things that are less than true for you in this moment. So how I used to be doesn't serve me anymore. You know, I used to be anxious about speaking in front of people. That would not serve me in my current profession. And so I've given that up in order to realize a greater good, which is the power of words and connection. And so we have this ability to release what no longer serves, and that is called surrender. And that place of receptivity that you find yourself in when you let go of how you think it should be or what you're supposed to do or all those negative things that go on in our head, when we let that go, we are moving into a state of acceptance of, oh, something more can happen. Something new is available. I can accept a new way of thinking. I can understand the political drama from a different perspective. I can remind myself that I am coming from a place of love that allows me to see ways to move forward that anger does not, or that fear does not, or that a sense of lack might hold me back from. So this idea of surrender and acceptance is about allowing the human experience to be as it is and still knowing and accepting there's something more, that there's somewhere to go with this, that there's a way forward, that infinite possibility we talk about in Science of Mind is here too, is here now, is here for me now. So
nice.
Thank you. All right, and my last question is whether or not hope exists in the Science of Mind philosophy. Well, Ernest Holmes in the text is very clear that hope is not wishing. Like, gee, I hope I find a job soon. That's the kind of hope that we do not teach. That's what it is not. It's more along the lines of an earlier definition of the word hope. So in the 1200s, the word hope was used to mean an expectation of something desired. And Ernest Holmes has a lot to say about expectancy, about expecting the good, about treating and moving your feet. So you do your prayer work, you align yourself with the greater truth, you remind yourself that you're more than your human experience, and then that in itself creates an expectation that there's going to be something for you to do, something better for your life, some other way of living your best life. So hope is about this intention with an expectation of fulfillment. So when we talk about expectancy, we're saying that there is good in life. Now, I may or may not be feeling peace in this particular moment, but there is still peace. And so if I take a moment to go out in nature or talk to a friend or just get quiet in myself for a while, I'm giving myself room for that peace to appear. And that sense of hope, that expectancy of good, is something that I can tap into anytime and for any situation, because that possibility is existing everywhere. So here's what I mean by that. So you find yourself, and so say you lost your job, or you don't have work in this particular economy, and it would be really easy to think that, oh my God, this is going to go on for months and I'm going to lose my house and I can't pay my rent and all the things that we worry about that get spun up in us. Or we could remind ourselves that there is infinite possibility in every circumstance. What that means is that there are a million ways my life could unfold. some of them are actually good. Why not live in that energy? Why not bring my thinking around to, I don't know what could happen, but it could be fabulous. I could have a chance conversation with a stranger that leads me to a contact that takes me to a job, and all of a sudden I'm living a life of luxury. Why not? It's just as likely as I'll never find a job for the next 12 months. Where would you rather live? So again, this philosophy is about how we live as human beings when we remember that we're also divine. When we allow the human to give way to the divine, to let things flow through us. You know, Ernest Holmes says, let us learn to see that everyone is evolving in consciousness. In other words, we're all on this path of discovery and uncovering the wholeness that we are. And so hope is this expectancy of good. It's not wishing, it's knowing. It's knowing that life is for us. It's knowing that we come through every dark night of the soul. It's knowing that any and every experience will help us to grow and become who we're meant to be. He says, we're always on the verge of this newer and better state of being. And that's a hope that I can truly live with.
And the one thing that I think of, especially when you talk about my life could turn out a million different ways, is that hope in that case is the opposite of hopelessness.
Right.
When I'm hopeless, there are no opportunities. This is what I'm stuck with. But so that kind of hope is moving ourselves out of hopelessness and looking at the myriad of ways that things could turn out, knowing that there are millions of things that could unfold out of that infinite potential.
Right. Right. That infinite possibility is true.
Yep.
All right. Well, we hope you've enjoyed our conversation. We look forward to your questions and know that we will continue to answer them as we can, either together or on our own, as the case may be. And it's just been delightful.
Thank you. Me too. It's been very fun. Very fun researching the answers to the questions because, of course, we didn't really just know them right off the top of our heads.
No, no.
And doing this has been, of course, very fun to always do this with Reverend Tracy. Love it. So why don't you start us in a spiritual mind treatment, and then I'll finish it.
I would love to. So I invite you to just take a moment, close your eyes right where you are. And breathe into that space within your own heart, that place that knows peace. That place that knows love, that is untouched by the outside world. That place of quiet within you, that is always there. For this is the place within that is the very nature of the divine. That right where we are, God is, by any name, energy or universe or Buddha, whether we call it love or peace or beauty. This place within us is the very power and life that we are. And I know that from this place, all things are possible. I know that in my life, the experiences of my life continue to unfold so that I might better see the divine nature, so that I might better act and move and have my being in this place of that which is good. And I know too that all that I am, all that anyone is this spirit of life in form, in expression, creating and becoming. And so I let myself relax into this love that is the very energy of life. I let myself accept that good is in my present and in my future. I let myself know that as I am evolving and becoming and life is getting better all the time, it is true also for those around me, for our world, for our planet. And that when things appear dark, I trust and know there is a new dawn. There is a new energy. There is an aspect of the infinite possibility coming into form even as we speak. And there is a life that cannot be denied.
And I pass my word to Reverend Jennifer.
And so, yes, I recognize that infinite potential, that infinite presence, of good that is right where I am. That infinite presence of creativity and of love and of beauty and of good that fills everything that I see and everything that I don't see. For this is the one and only power and presence. And it is everywhere present, in and through and around and as everything in this universe. And so recognizing today that the will of God is none other than to express in its fullness, and that we are each incarnations, individualized expressions of that one, I recognize that all that we could ever need, want, desire is already right here within us, already all around us, and the desire of this universe is to unfold it in our lives. And so I surrender my littleness, I surrender my doubt and fear into this potential, into peace and into wholeness and into good and into power. And so what a blessing it is to be living this life in that divine presence. And so, yes, as I know this for me and for each one of us here, I know this about every person on this planet, that that divine presence is unfolding itself in every heart, in every home, in every country, in every political situation, as the perfect solution that is supporting all of humanity in its thriving, in its fulfillment, in its joy, and its connection and oneness. And so I just relax into this presence in peace and in acceptance and in gratitude. And I release this prayer with absolute expectation, knowing that it is so because it has always been the spiritual truth. And so I just step into that, and I relax into that, and I let it be. And I say, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you all.
And so blessings to you this week. We'll see you next week.
Know that you are loved. Till next time.